Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. The very authentic source of Nigerian information. Positive Nigerian energy all the way. Okay, so right about now, we are going right into diaspora discourse for today. Yes, diaspora discourse live for today. And definitely this is the point. This is the segment where we get to get in touch, we get to connect, we get to relate with Nigerians in diaspora. We get to talk about things, you know, involving Nigerians in diaspora. And we also get to hear from them their personal first-hand experience as regards whatever, wherever they might be, and what they go through, and how you know, what life is like wherever they might be. And then today is not an exception of diaspora discourse, because we have beautiful, amazing people that we will be talking to, and of course these are people in diaspora, and we're going to hear from them. They're going to talk to us. We've had beautiful, amazing people in the past, of course, and we cannot but acknowledge it. And then today we have someone amazing, first of all, that we will be talking to. Okay, we have someone here.
My name is Olaya Bimbola.
Olaya Abimbola, right?
Yes.
All right, so where are you calling from at the moment?
Oh, I'm calling from Ghana.
From Ghana?
Accra.
Okay, yes. Accra, Ghana. Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Accra, Ghana is pretty close to Nigeria.
Oh, yes.
Very close.
Two countries away.
Two countries away, actually. Wow, beautiful. Actually, this is the first time that we're going to be talking to a Nigerian in diaspora that is really close to Nigeria. Of course,
oh,
Ghana.
That's good.
Yeah, so that's I should give you a round of applause. Okay, so what part of Nigeria are you from? Let's begin with that.
Oh, what part of that? Okay, I'm from the western part, Ekiti to be precise.
Ekiti.
But I reside in Lagos. Born and bred in Lagos.
Amazing. Yes. Okay, so how often do you visit Nigeria?
Monthly, you know, because I'm close by.
Monthly?
I can come, and I can do once in 3 months too.
Oh,
because I'm actually close by.
Amazing. So they are not even far away from home at all.
They're almost the same distance from Lagos to Abuja.
Wow, that close.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So they're very close.
Mm. Mm. Okay, so I can't even ask you what you miss most about Nigeria, because you're pretty close to Nigeria.
You still miss Nigeria. There's no place like Nigeria.
There's no place like home. And as a matter of fact, I think you were going to say there's no place like Nigeria. You are free to say it. Please, this is
no
Spirit of Nigeria.
Like Nigeria. Yeah, because Nigeria is home.
Hmm. Beautiful. Okay, so tell me about that particular phrase, no place like Nigeria. Tell me more about it.
You see, when it comes to Nigeria, we are unique. No matter how you look at it.
Hmm.
No matter what anybody tells you. Or would they call us, or they get envious of us, we are unique.
Mm.
Whatever we're going through, we are unique.
Mm.
And we always come out the best. You see, the difference in us and a lot of people is that we don't believe that the next person is better than us.
Mm.
So when they see us put our best, they keep wondering, why are you looking? Why are you succeeding? Why are you still waiting? How come you are getting this?
Mm.
And we can't get it. But they don't understand that. We don't sleep on the job. We are in the market. By the end.
Hmm.
Before 6, we are already there. Our shops are open. Well, some people will come and open their own shop like 8, 9, 10. And then, you know, we encourage people to come. And we are trustworthy. If you come that early, we will keep your goods for you. You can do other things. When you're coming back, you pick it up. So we are unique.
Yes.
And people don't understand it when they see people do things differently from the norm they've been used to.
Hmm.
So I know that people will get envious when they see us succeed.
Hmm.
And then they try to bring out the just one or two negative sides of mistakes.
Hmm.
And they forget the whole lot of the good side and good things
we do. Hmm. Hmm. I find
home is the best.
Hmm. We are the best. Nigeria is really the best. Amazing.
That's why sometimes I would disagree with the saying that where you lay your head is home. At times, you know, home is where you are happiest.
Home is where your heart is.
Oh, yes.
Amazing. I find you interesting. I find this interesting. And then it actually reminded me that I didn't even get to ask you to tell me about yourself. Who exactly is Olaya?
Okay, I'm an operations specialist. I work with Blue Mobile Ghana.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and I'm here situated in Accra.
Okay.
So I'm more into supply chain and inventory management, warehousing, and that's what I'm professional in, and that's what I specialize myself in.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, what's life like in Ghana?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay, I said I've heard a whole lot about Ghana. Let's take it from the time that I really don't know if it is a rumor, but I think there was a time it was trending that Ghana celebrated 1 year of uninterrupted power supply, and yes.
Yeah, I heard that too, but you know, the power was pretty stable. But at a certain time, like when Buhari just came in, power in Nigeria was more stable than Ghana.
Tell me about it.
Yes, it was more stable than Ghana. Okay. Those first 3 months or four, power was extremely stable in at least Lagos that I know, than Ghana. Mm. Yeah, but it's true, we still have a little bit of, and it depends on the area, I think. Depends on the area you stay. Where I stay, we have lights almost every day.
Okay.
Almost throughout, 20%.
Okay.
And I know some other areas. And I know some areas that they have, it's not every, the light is not 24/7.
Okay.
You have a lot of off periods. So I think it depends on where you stay, and maybe they look at what how often those people pay. I don't know, but that's just guessing.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
Because it depends on the area, that's what I noticed.
Oh, all right.
But they do take light, but not as bad as ours.
Okay. All right. And then I think another thing that I heard about Ghana is their jollof rice, a competition between the Nigerian jollof and the Ghanaian jollof. And honestly, I feel like, you know, it's still, there is nowhere. The very first, as a matter of fact, I think anytime I come across a Ghanaian, the first thing I ask is, what's up with your jollof rice in Nigeria, the Ghanaian jollof rice? Can it, so please, have you, and I want to believe that you've tasted from the, you've had a lot of Nigerian jollof. And Ghanaian jollof.
I don't know if it's Senegalese jollof. What do we say?
No,
but I think it's more, yes, Senegalese jollof.
Okay.
But I think it's more with who is preparing it.
Okay.
Yeah, rice is different from ours. They eat perfumed rice here, in Ghana.
Okay.
We Nigerians don't like perfumed rice.
Okay.
So when we prepare our own jollof, it doesn't give them that kind of aroma that they usually get in theirs. So definitely it's going to be a little bit different from theirs. And then most importantly, I think, is the hand of the person preparing. I know that there are some Ghanaians that will prepare Nigerian rice and it tastes super. And there are some Nigerians too that will use the Ghanaian kind of rice and prepare it and it tastes super. So I think it boils down on who is actually doing the cooking.
Okay. That's I think that's the should I say the only explanation, the only valid explanation that actually really does work. Anyway, moving on from your name, Bimbo Olaya. You know, I was going to confuse your name for Victor Olaya because I think there's this popular Victor Olaya, and I was going to confuse your name for Victor. Your father. Okay, this just got interesting. Wow. Okay, so do you sing as well?
No, not again. I haven't done anything like that in over the almost 30 years.
Wow.
But my brother is the band leader.
Oh, your brother is the band leader.
Yeah, and then we're still a music-oriented family.
Okay.
My kids also play. My son plays the trumpet very well and the sax. My daughter is learning the sax and keyboard. I know his daughter plays the piano.
Okay.
My senior sister too plays. All of us, we all play an instrument at least. My junior sister plays the clarinet. One plays the bass guitar. One plays the rhythm. two actually plays rhythm. One plays the bass. I have another, you know, one plays the trumpet, another one. So it's we are still in the music-oriented family.
Okay.
We all love music and we all dance
about
it.
So. Amazing. Okay.
It's a great band. Amazing.
All right. Thank you so much for that. Okay, moving on. Let's talk about Nigeria. Let's talk about Ghana. Okay, first of all, let's talk about Ghana. You know, you've been in... sorry, I didn't ask. How many years have you been in Ghana?
I've been here almost 9 years.
9 years. Okay, so you're quite exposed to so many things as regards Ghana. You know Ghana to a very large extent.
Yeah, well, you can say so.
Okay, I wanted you to give me, a brief comparison, because, you know, as regards, let's say, the economical, the social, and let's talk about the development, yes, basically. Let's talk about the development in Ghana. Can you compare the development of Ghana and, you know, economically, socially, and, you know, that's basically, and then, yes, with that of Nigeria. Yes, okay, I'm with you.
Well, let me start like this, that Nigeria is blessed. We are far richer. And when it comes to material and human resources, we have more. The only thing that I see that they are trying to do better than us is to try and start the project and finish it on time, in line with the time frame of that project.
Okay.
Because in Nigeria, we don't look at time frame. Every project is an opportunity to make money. Within the lockdown period, I see bridges that they just started not up to a year ago. They are almost putting the beam is up. All the beams are up. Just name it here. They're almost, in, I'm sure, in the next 3 months, they're going to finish it. Or 2 months, I'm sure. They want to finish, they want to progress. They want to develop by all means. We have more and better resources, but we are not putting it to good use. Social-wise, we are more social. We are entertainment industry, everything is far more developed. But the energy they still try to put in should be, you know, commendable. See, they know, though they might not want to accept that Nigeria is really, really, really bigger than them and greater than them. But yes, everybody doesn't want to accept, but it's the main thing. But during this lockdown period, if you go to Benin, Togo, and you see that there's nothing happening. Most of the things everybody buys and sells comes from Nigeria here. There's a lot of trade between Nigeria and Ghana. No matter how people might say, no, it's a lie, but a lot of people come to Nigeria and buy. And it is those that actually leave the country to other countries to do business that really appreciate what Nigeria has to offer. But, you know, looking at it far wide, they're trying. They're trying.
Okay.
We all could do better as Africans. But
absolutely.
Really, they are trying. They're trying to get there. They're trying to do things and make sure things work.
Amazing. All right. I'm with you. Please go on.
Yeah. So whereas we, you know, as Nigerians, the government as a whole, or the people as a whole, use it as opportunity to just, you know, take advantage of everybody and the wrong thing. Though we have it here, but, you know, I'm more particular about where I'm from. And I want to see changes. You know, real good changes that I can say, oh, they started this project, they put it in 2 years, and they finished it in 1.5 years. That is what I want to see in Nigeria. Those are one of the things throwing us back. We have all the opportunity to be the greatest, but we are the ones holding ourselves down. We cannot call ourselves the greatest country if we don't step out and actually develop greater than everything. So economy-wise, they are not, Ghana and Lagos should be about the same. Even Lagos should be richer than the whole of Ghana. Yes, that's the way I look at it. I might be wrong.
Okay.
I might be wrong, but when I look at the population of Lagos and I look at Lagos and the rest of Nigeria, you know, I think we have a lot to offer.
All right, thank you so much. And then it brings me to this question. You said quite a couple of things about Nigeria and, of course, about Ghana as well. And then, you know, if given the opportunity, if given the privilege to, you know, maybe serve, maybe given a position in government in Nigeria, if given that opportunity to implement and make decisions, what are the things you would put in place? What are the things that you want to see happen in Nigeria?
I want to see a lot of things happen. First of all, I want to see discipline. Real discipline. First of all, the National Assembly, they should be trimmed down to one. They can't be happy in lower house and upper house. They should, first of all, be trimmed down to one. We don't need all those people there. And honestly, their salary should not be more than that of a... They shouldn't earn more than a secondary school teacher, at most the vice principal. Because tell me, what are they doing? They should be more, just one house, not upper and lower house. And they represent them in the local government, in the state assemblies, to be trimmed down. You're wasting too much money on that. Secondly, the judiciary also. We need to have a time frame for everything. We shouldn't continue the way we're doing things. And we know some people are above the law. All these things need to be clipped. And not just clipped, to be tied and, you know, have an end, a real end to a lot of things. Nigeria, too much corruption. The corruption is just too much, and we celebrate it. And we tell them to, please, if you have money, let us know your source. It's not in the KK, you know, 18th century or early 19th century. You must know your source. If you cannot get your source, then what are you doing there? And people should be learned to live honestly. There should be celebration of hard work. Celebration of hard work. And people who have come to do businesses should be encouraged. Look, everybody are giving people, you know, like here, they actually give palliatives for electricity and water for 2 months. We couldn't do that. Now they are increasing the electricity tariffs. Whereas in Ghana here, the government is showing they care for the people. These are the things we need to see, real things work. Not everybody is looking at this as an opportunity. All the governors, I look at them, I'm just using this period as an opportunity to embrace it. Look at the NDDC. Why are we making ourselves, you know, laughing stock? A lot of the Ghanaians here watch the UGS, Nigerian DSTV. They see a lot of things about us, and it's, you know, it's, they laugh at us. And these are things, you know, for me, corruption would be one of the major things. The police, the judiciary, the National Assembly, they are the main people that should be dealt with.
Okay.
If you travel by road, you feel, you cry for the country. You go all the way from Ghana to Semen. Nobody will harass you. All the way from inside Ghana, or even Takoradi, all the way down the other side of Ghana, all the way to Semen. But the customs people and immigration that you meet from Semen to, how will I put it, maybe Lasso, is like times 20. And everybody, you see them, disgrace. When you've traveled by road with foreigners, you feel ashamed on that road. Because of that, like you just travel by, it's, you know, I don't want to see all those things. So you see, our problem is corruption. It can be taken care of. Monitoring is the main bane of our problems. We need to monitor and deal with, deal decisively with people that influence how people look at us. We need to deal with the country, deal with the people that have given us a bad name. And that comes with all the police, the customs, and the rest, the judiciary, and the National Assembly. We need to really, really, really look at them, deal with them. Those that are corrupt, move them, clean them out. Not demote, no, clean them out. Move them from the system. Then bring people in from, you know, as they're doing their NYC, or and they bring them in, fresh people. You know, so that we can try and give them good orientation. And maybe you're talking about orientation. Yeah, it's good they started civic education. You know, it should be compulsory up to WAEC level, and they should do it compulsory in WAEC. Because we need to change the mindset of our children from nursery, from the kindergarten, all the way to secondary school. Even in the universities, we should teach them civic education so that they become responsible. It gets into their head. They can challenge their parents at home, challenge their government, their local government chairman, their representatives, and the rest. And when they ask them, they will tell them, no, this is what the law says. It's already in there. Not like you, a policeman would talk to you and be telling you the wrong thing on the road. But when we let the children know about all those things right from childhood, they can tell the policeman, no, what you're doing is wrong. Even when they're in the bus, they will tell the policeman, no, you're not supposed to. And when a child accosts someone like that, the person will definitely sit up. And the children are getting to know the wrong things that they are doing. So there's a lot of things that just don't want, not two, not three, not four. But most importantly, I think, discipline, corruption.
All right.
Let me talk too passionately.
I had to let you. You had quite a lot to let out. I had to let you say everything uninterrupted. And I had quite a couple of things that I picked from what you said, and basically about the system, a lot more about the system actually. And I had quite a couple of things to pick from that. But, you know, one thing was going through my mind as you were saying all of that. It still remains the fact that even because I remember from the very beginning when you started, you talked about Nigeria and Nigerians. And then even for Nigerians, especially irrespective of the system, Nigerians still remain rugged. Nigerians still remain undefeated. And of course, still remain very, very hardworking. And that is what we appreciate about, even right here at Spirit of Nigeria Radio, that is what we appreciate most about Nigeria, the Nigerians in Nigeria, and of course, even the Nigerians in diaspora, and of course, even you inclusive.
thanks.
All right. Thank you so much. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about let's talk about the voting activities. Yes. As a Nigerian in diaspora, even though you're very close to home, but yes, you're still in diaspora, even considering the fact that you're not in Nigeria, you're still in diaspora. So what do you think about Nigerians in diaspora getting involved with political activities, electoral activities in Nigeria?
We should be able to vote in diaspora too.
Okay.
We should be, because I'm sure when you look at the population of Nigerians outside, we will be nothing less than 25 million. And the majority of us are actually in the voting age, or within the voting age. So you can imagine, even let's say 50% of that not being able to vote. And yet, we'll be saying we had, we'll be counting 15 million. If we can actually add the other 15 million to it, don't you think we would have a better result? And once we can, and it can be done. If they really want, it can be. We have a lot of intelligent people that can do it right. if they allow it to be done right, or want to allow it to be done right. We have a lot of people that can. We did, you know, my university, I mean, my secondary school alumni,
yes,
Command Secondary School, Ipaja alumni, we voted on, I mean, in diaspora. For what we wanted, for who we wanted. Yes, we were not there to vote. Even my class group, I do not need to be there to vote, personally. We do it, you know. And things like that you can develop and do. So I think they should involve us in every lot of things.
Okay.
People are scared of coming home. I know. We are, a lot of us are always scared when we come, because when you get home, when you get back to Nigeria, you just have to change. If you obey the law, you stand too much at the traffic, you obey the traffic light, you see the next person behind you will teach you. With his car and tell you you should move. And if you are not careful, the policeman too will come, and then maybe if you are not careful, too, one or two robbers can come and accost you there at the traffic light, whereas they're supposed to stop at the red light. And nobody is catching nobody. No, so we should be able to vote in the aspect. And I know they can do it.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Really appreciate this. And let's talk about entertainment for a little bit, because I have to give you something to listen to. So, who is your favorite Nigerian artist?
I would like to. My favorite is actually my father.
Oh, so, Victor Olaya.
Yes, he's actually my father. I would have liked
to. Oh, okay. So, I would.
He can give me anything, any number from me.
Anyone. Oh, okay, no problem. I'm definitely going to see to that. But in the meantime, I have to say to you that you've done well, and we really appreciate this. And hopefully, when next we, you know, need to reach out to you, or when next we need to hear from you, we hope that you will be available.
I'll be calling you. Yes, I'm enjoying the program.
All right, thank you so much.
And I'm so happy about it.
Thank you so much,
sir. The emotion, the idea behind it. It's super.
Thank you. Thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too. God bless.
Okay. So, this one, it got me on different sides, honestly, because this is a critical analysis of things affecting Nigeria. And of course, we can't but deny the fact that Nigeria is blessed. And, you know, the part where you talked about Nigerians and, you know, the spirit of Nigerians, the ever working spirit of Nigerians. Nigerians will never give up. And then, you know, the part where you said that wherever you find Nigerians, you see them succeed. And that is the truth. Wherever in this world you see Nigerians, wherever in this life you find Nigerians, you will see them succeed. And that is the plain truth about Nigeria. I mean, about Nigerians, of course. And that is what we celebrate right here at Spirit of Nigeria Radio. We celebrate Nigerians in diaspora, and of course Nigerians in Nigeria. Positive Nigerian energy all the way.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.